But that is not where we're going with the sermon today right now, right? Such a beautiful picture, and then we have vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It's an unhappy business that God has given human beings to be busy with. This uplifting message is brought to you by the teacher, or sometimes called the preacher, the writer of Ecclesiastes. When I've read Ecclesiastes, I've always thought that the teacher was maybe going through a little bit of depression or something. Because when I've been depressed, these are the kind of things that I think, right? And I'm sure a lot of you can relate. When you get down about life and the world, these are the kind of thoughts that run through your mind. But I think sometimes those times of downness or depression can offer us some truth and goodness about our world. Sometimes it's a good thing to take a hard look at our lives and think about what we're doing. What is the purpose of our life? Will we spend our lives making a difference or living our lives in vain? These are very important questions for us to think about. Well, our reading from Colossians offers us a direction and some answers to that question about what life is truly about. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Living for the things of the world is vanity. We work and work some more, and if that's all there is, our lives can easily start to feel in vain. It's like that song says, "Wake up, you need to make money." Right? Some of you maybe have heard that on the radio. We grow up with dreams of homes and families and careers and achieving things, but those things, getting to achieve those things, can sometimes make us feel like we're just running on a hamster wheel day after day. Or if you maybe remember that commercial from a long time ago, time to make the donuts. The Dunkin' Donuts guy gets up early and trudges out of his bed to work to make the donuts. We get up, we go to work, we take the kids to activities, we clean the house, and we always have to figure out every night what's for dinner. When we were on vacation last week, my kids were asking, you know, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we'll do this and this, and then we're going to eat dinner. And my son said, we're having dinner again. We got to spend a lot of time together on vacation, and it was a great time. Lots of dinners had, but it's kind of started to dawn on me while we were on this trip that my kids, who are 4.5 and 3, are someday going to grow up and leave me. They're going to be their own people. They're not just going to be my kids, and maybe I should have realized this earlier, but there it is. But my son is starting to kind of have a better awareness of the world and ask different questions about things and kind of clue into things on a deeper level than just teaching him, like, how to put his shoes on, which is a very important life lesson, of course. But this is going to start to be the time where we have a chance to shape him and guide him in the direction that which he is supposed to go, to show him what the point is of life, to set his mind on Christ and the things above. And the best way any of us learn anything is by example, always. We learn what we do and what we see others doing around us. The bar is raised or lowered for us by who we spend our time with and by who we look up to. And here, we always look up to Jesus for guidance. And each time we're here, we're reminded again what the point of life is by looking at Christ. We set our eyes on the things above each week as we hear the words of our risen Lord, who offers us grace and strength whenever we look to him. Today, the words Jesus shares with us are ones that can cut deep for us in our time and place. He says, "Take care to guard against all kinds of greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist in possessions." After he says this, he goes on to tell a story that paints a vivid picture in my mind each time I hear it. It's often called the parable of the rich fool. This is a man who has so much food, he doesn't even know what to do with it, literally. He's got so much, he has to tear down his barns to build bigger ones just to store all the food he's grown and kept for himself. And when he's done this, he says some well-known words. Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry, right? Famous words. But what happens to the man that night? He dies. God comes and says, you fool, this very night your life is required of you. It's pretty easy to take away the irony from this story, but I think we need to keep reading to hear God's final point. When God says, and the things you have prepared, whose will those be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. The point of life isn't to store up riches for ourselves. Jesus is telling us it's the opposite of that. It's to give our blessings away and to count our riches in the huge storehouse of grace and peace that only comes from our relationship with Christ. As the rich man in Jesus' story learned, and as many people in this world can tell you, a storehouse of wealth will not save us from death. It's not to say that money can't help us to get medical treatment, to keep us safe and healthy, and to help us to be able to travel, to get good treatment and things like that. But in the end, we all will die. But will we die rich in possessions, or will we die rich in the love of God? Because Jesus seems to suggest that we can't do both. So what is the point of the story of the rich fool and of our lives? Well, one thing we can take away is that we are to share with others. When you have more than you need, we should build a longer table, not a higher fence. Or we could say from this story, a bigger barn. The point of life is to know where our true purpose lies, in Christ, and not in the things that we will leave behind. If we keep those things for ourselves, we're just missing the point. Another point of life is to put our trust in God rather than in our stores of wealth. Because as we saw with the rich man, those things could not save him. These are all things that I'm working towards in my life, too. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I don't care what's in my bank account, because I do. I'm not going to lie and say I don't sleep better at night knowing that I have a retirement account and a college fund for my kids. If you come to my house, it's definitely not barren. We've got plenty of toys and way more clothes than we need and food. I'm not going to say that I don't dream of a better and bigger house, because I do. But I will say that keeping my eyes and my focus on the things above help me loosen my grip and my obsession with those things. It frees me in a way to know that my worth isn't found in what I have, but in Christ. It helps me to let go of some of the envy I have when I see other people doing things I'd like to be able to do or living in places I would love to live. It helps me to know where my true riches lie in serving others in the name of Christ and sharing his love and in the never-ending battle against my own greed. I read an article this week about the actress Kristen Bell. Some of you might recognize her, but you definitely recognize Anna from Frozen, right? She is the actress that voices Anna from Frozen, along with many other things. So she got married about 3 years ago to another actor, Dax Shepard, who was on Parenthood. And guess how much their wedding cost? Does anybody know? $142. They got married in a courthouse, and they've been together 9 years, married 3 years ago, and they look pretty happy, huh? People are starting to make different choices in life, right? We can sometimes let go of those things the world tells us we need and realize we don't really need them. People are sometimes choosing smaller homes or less demanding careers as a way to live a simpler life, as a way to have more time to focus on God. Now, all you economics people out there, pay attention, right? So there's this economics principle called opportunity cost. And it's a concept that says every time we spend or we save, we're giving up the opportunity to use those resources for something else. Makes sense, right? So if we spend $4 on our coffee, that's $4 we don't save for college or retirement. I'm not telling you you shouldn't spend money on coffee, by the way. Something that I will never say. We make choices every day, though, with our time and our money without thinking about them, right? So that's what I want us to take away from this sermon this week. Let's just start thinking a little about not only what we do with our money, but what we do with our time and how our faith plays into that. So this week, I want you to think about what are some things that you can take a closer look at in your life. Maybe something that you might feel that God is calling you to loosen your grip on, and just pray about that with God. What can you take a look at in your life that you might change? And then I want us all to think about, as individuals and as our church, how can we build a bigger table and welcome more people to it? I think we've taken a good step here at Grace so far in our addition, that we're trying to make more room for more people and things to happen. But we need to go just beyond that. How can we be more welcoming to others to come in and share the good news? And then I want you to think about, what is the point of your life? What is the point of your possessions, of your faith? And when you're pondering these things and praying about them, look up. Always look up to Christ, and he will guide you and show you the way. Amen.